This podcast is brought to you by Osprey Approach. In conveyancing, fixed fees mean every minute counts. Too much admin eats into your profits, and inefficiencies slow transactions down. Osprey Approach is a legal software built for law firms, helping conveyancers stay in control by managing cases, accounts, documents, and compliance all in one place. From automated client updates to post-completion workflows, Osprey streamlines every step, cutting admin time and keeping transactions moving. Osprey Approach. We make running a law firm easier.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hello, welcome along to the latest Today's Conveyancer podcast. Today, I've titled this podcast The AI Art of the Possible. It's a bit of a play on words, but the topic of conversation is artificial intelligence. And I've got with me Chris Harris, the founder of Collaborative Conveyancing, and of course, the founder of Today's Conveyancer as well. Not Chris, I'm suggesting that you are AI. You're very real today on the podcast. Thank you for joining.
Yes, David. David, thank you so much for having me on today. It's really, really appreciated.
But in the first instance, tell the listeners that perhaps aren't familiar with who you are and what you do, please.
So I'm a solicitor. I was one of the early members of staff at LMS. I worked in private practice in Chester, left there just after the great financial crash and built Today's Conveyancer. And then I built and sold Lawyer Checker. Worked with lots of law firms from a consultancy perspective, but I'm an entrepreneur who builds what I believe the market may hopefully want. I enjoy trying to make conveyancing easier for conveyancers and safer for the public.
Topic of conversation today, artificial intelligence. I've titled, as I say, the discussion, The Art of the Possible, because I feel, and I'm guilty of it in my own business as well, of not really embracing artificial intelligence. You'll appreciate the creative industries. And just before we started recording, we were talking about theatre, talk about music, quite famously in recent weeks, has published this album of No Noise. These industries feel very under threat by artificial intelligence, as do conveyancers, because the narrative is that it's going to take their jobs. Presumably, you're here to tell me that it's not.
Well, not today. It may well be. Beyond the lifetime of most of us, it may well change things quite considerably, but AI is moving forward quickly. Fewer and fewer people want to do conveyancing, and the remaining people are under more and more pressure. A lot of the work is administrative in nature, and there is a question to say, if people don't want to be conveyancers because it's administrative and the clients get angry and it's quite stressful, is it not time to embrace alternative methods to resolve some of those issues or make the impact on humans easier? I don't think any of us don't use email or don't use tools or case management. A few of us don't use case management. Most of us use case management systems to allow task management to be easier and more straightforward. And all AI is an extension of the transition for better technology that we've seen for the last few decades.
Let's start at the beginning, I suppose, around what your understanding and your business is obviously utilizing artificial intelligence. What's your understanding of AI? Because again, I think there's misnomers around sort of on the one hand, it being a little bit robotic, but on the other hand, Skynet.
Understandably, many people are confused or use language which isn't always accurate and make wide assumptions because they've not looked at it. I started looking at this 3.5 years ago because I felt it was coming. And over that period of time, I've learned reasonable amounts about it. I'm no expert, but I have done quite a bit. And I think AI can include everything from machine learning, and character recognition to a certain level, all the way up to generative AI, which is a much more sophisticated approach in understanding the data that goes into it. Natural language processing sits in the middle of all of that. These are all things that are bandied around, but collectively would be considered to be artificial intelligence. The reality is, artificial intelligence is just a complicated set of if-then rules that govern how something may behave, but it means that the if and thens can be more autonomously determined and much more complicated and more like a neural map when you start to get into generative AI. So I hope that helps, but it's effectively a complicated decision-making engine.
I think most people kind of understand the sort of general concept then that we can create decision trees, but very complex decision trees through these processes. Can you drill into just a touch around what machine learning is, what large language models are, and what the natural language processing elements are?
I think probably the most important today is to understand the generative element of it and what is generative rather than machine learning or NLP. I would just go straight to say, what is a large language model, an LLM, and what is generative AI? An LLM is an application which has had significant amounts of data put into it to enable it to understand not just written English, but spoken English and pictures and many languages. And it has been exposed to significant amounts of data. And organizations own these models. You'll have heard of DeepSeek, you'll have heard of OpenAI. They're examples of large language models. Now, within that, these language models can generate responses from their understanding of the data that they are exposed to. So the generative element is the actual, what does this data mean that we've been exposed to? And what does the person that's asking me to look at this data want me to do with it? So before this call, we were talking about you writing a headline. You will have caught an article and you use ChatGPT. ChatGPT is a product that uses a large language model, and that large language model has read lots and lots of headlines, and you will have said, I want a headline that's interesting, that's humorous, that's short, and it will have gone away and looked at all the headlines it's been exposed to, part of its training, and it will have come back with a particular answer. The way that you'll have used ChatGPT is probably within an open framework, so that information that you've put in could be used by the training within it, could be used by other people. It's probably not fine-tuned towards your business model. What we've done is we've taken some large, we've tested a variety of different types of large language models. On top of those, we've fine-tuned them using something called RAG, which is effectively a series of training specific to a subject that the large language model is not very good at. So we have trained our large language model in understanding conveyancing inquiries, but also other things. As an example, the other day, I started to experiment with voice AI and I built a quote engine. And Sarah, my agent, I said to Sarah, how fast will my conveyancing take? And she told me how it would be quite slow. And she gave me a realistic number of weeks. And I said to her, okay, so what's holding that up? And she said, well, we can't predict how the other side will behave or how the chain will behave. So I said, oh, could I ask you to, if we got the other side to work with your law firm as well as me instruct your law firm, and both sides used your law firm, would that make things go quicker? And Sarah's response was, no, that's a conflict of interest. I'm sorry, but I can't do that. And that was something that I hadn't taught her. Before I trained her, she didn't know much about flying freeholds because that was a bit more specific to conveyancing. She now understands flying freeholds. But the concept that I'm calling it a he or a she is also a bit weird because it's a algorithm. She's able to understand spoken voice or images or documents and actually respond to those in a way that enables us to do things with. And that's the generative element of it. And then people will have heard that generative AI can hallucinate and come up with things that are not real. So if you use certain models and you use it in an unconstrained way, it will come up with hallucinations still. I asked it to give me a series of case law about series of things, and it gave me lots of cases that were real. And then it gave me a made up case. And I thought, I've never heard of that case. I went to try to find it and it didn't exist. That particular LLM had hallucinated and made up a case. But there are ways and methods of constraining that. And I think for the majority of law firms, them using an LLM or fine-tuning an LLM is probably quite a lot of work for an average law firm to do. They are probably going to be buying those services from third parties. And the questions that they have to ask is, how is that AI constrained to ensure that it's not going to do something that's ridiculous? And that involves things like, you don't let it make decisions, it makes recommendations and the lawyer makes the decision. It includes very clear evidence that it's been constrained. I know exactly how we constrain our models to ensure that they do not give false or wrong advice, but that's our intellectual property. But I think it's very clear that law firms need to be very careful in what they ask of their suppliers. And increasingly, people that have traditionally not had AI in their products are putting AI into their products. And you need to assess that whatever the product is, you may or may not see the AI. There may be stuff going on in the background that you just do not know is AI. My car works, but I am told it has some AI in it in the background somewhere. Don't know what it does, but I'm told it helps manage the engine. So you've got to be really careful in terms of the visibility of what you're doing, if that makes sense.
It does. But equally, I think, you know, perhaps we hold AI up to be more than it is or more than it should be. We accept that humans are fallible and we place those same risk constraints around people, whether it's giving quotes or whether it's managing conveyancing, whatever it might be. We have checks and balances around them. What you're saying here is, in the same way, we need to ensure that we've got similar checks and balances around the AI.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to ensure that you've got appropriate risk management techniques. But was that any different to any data that you ever held? You know, is it secure? Is it being used effectively? Are people using it for malicious purposes? Is it actually in the right place at the right time? And that might be an envelope with a letter in it that sits in a post room, or that might be a voice recording of somebody that somebody left on your voicemail over the weekend, or that could be somebody using AI to process something within your organization. So it's multifold, and just letting your staff use an open system like ChatGPT is neither safe nor robust, and you need to think about how you may adopt technology in a safe and secure manner like you would any other piece of technology.
Hence why we've understood that there are some large law firms that have banned ChatGPT from use. Let's.
Vacancy Legal Recruitment, a refreshingly unique and personal talent agency developed specifically for legal. Dedicated to the sector and with extensive experience working across legal, legal services and legal technology, we bridge the gap between your requirements and top-tier legal talent. Get in touch today and say hello at vacancy.co.uk.
Move on and talk about this art of the possible, because I think, and again, going back to what I said at the start of the discussion, I think we're all guilty of not really understanding what the power of AI is and how it could be used in our daily lives. Can you give us some examples of how you've kind of been using AI, not just in your own business, but in your own sort of working life, where you found it has got a huge amount of value add to what you do?
Let me give a client example to start with. There's a law firm that I know in Bolton, and one of my mates lives in Bolton, and he's involved with property purchase for his mother to move into some sheltered bungalows that the mum wants to buy. That particular law firm, national reputation, well known, has said to him that they're waiting for searches. And he's used ChatGPT to find out how long searches take in Bolton, the name and number of the local land charges department, because ChatGPT suggests that they speak to them. And he's phoned up ChatGPT and found out that local land charges don't take the length of time that the firm has purported to do. And he's been on the phone this morning to them, criticising them for lying because they said they were awaiting searches when they should have put the searches in 4 weeks earlier. I've said to him, it was stamp duty, mate. Get used to it. You know, they're going as fast as they can. But client behaviour is changing. So putting aside everything that chat, that AI can do for you, it's doing things for your clients. And what it's doing to your clients is further raising their expectations at the speed you are going. If you think about the art of the possible, it's entirely conceivable today that during a quotation call that ChatGPT can call on Zoopla, find the picture of the property that's being bought and have a discussion with the client about the property. And some say something like, you know, is yours the property with the red front door? I can see that there's a conservatory there. When did you put the conservatory on? We use AI to look within an inquiry, to look for the intent, the understanding, what's going on and what you could do. So if there is a piece of data within a title that clearly requires an indemnity insurance, my AI is almost at the point where it will just go and get a quote for that insurance at the instruction of the lawyer and remove all the dog work of getting the insurance quote. Now, you may say these are trivial things, but actually they all take time. And actually, things can be used to explain to clients, chase clients, write documents in a way that's more natural for the client, take some of the burden off lawyers that sometimes they just don't have time to deliver in the way that they want to deliver. The art of the possible is as broad and as wide as you want it to be. I'm aware of businesses out there whose view is that, you know, conveyancers will lose large chunks of their work. And I'm of the view that people out there that are saying AI will empower conveyancers and particularly make smaller conveyancers more effective. What it's probably going to do is it's probably going to reduce the timescale for completions. And there's lots of ways that it can do that and help do that. But lawyers need to think very carefully about what their service is. At the moment, lawyers collect data, understand and verify what that data means, risk manage that data, then they hold the money and they exchange and complete. The whole data collection piece, there are countless organisations out there that are trying to pull together in a much faster way. And there's quite a few organisations out there that are then saying, what does that data mean? What will a lawyer ask of that data when a lawyer reads it? And that process that's available and people are building is going to change the way in which lawyers interact with data. And by data, I don't just mean text in boxes on case management systems. I mean documents, images, telephone calls. If I was a criminal, I would probably be cloning your voice during this call, David. And then I would be using your voice to persuade somebody that it was you that was talking. AI can collect your mannerisms, the way that you work, the way that you think, and can clone you. As lawyers, is it time that we gave clients passwords in the same way that a bank does and to ensure that we are actually talking to the person that we think we're talking to? Because when you talk about the art of the possible, it isn't just the art of what you could do. It's the art of what a criminal could do, or it's the art of what a client could do. It requires some time and thought from lawyers in terms of how will society change, not just how will my practice change. And it's entirely possible to say we're a human-only practice and we make a virtue of that. That's fine. That's well considered. It's a strong message. You know what you're doing. It's also fine to say we're a technology-led conveyancer and we are driving our service forward with that. And that's fine. I'm concerned about people that are just saying it'll never happen. It won't happen. I'm not interested. AI's not safe. AI's going to cause the end of the world, or AI is just another fad, or AI is irrelevant to me, because it will impact the way in which your practice works in many, many ways. And spending time thinking about the art of the possible is probably quite useful.
We were chatting before we started the recording, and you kind of threw out there that perhaps this could be as quick as 6 months in terms of some of the big changes that could happen as a result of artificial intelligence. And I'm sat here saying, well, I don't know, 6 months feels like a very short timescale, Chris, but equally, your rebuttal to that is think about where we were 12 months ago and think about that journey that we've been on in a very, very short space of time.
We were talking before this. I was saying it's going to be quite quick and you were saying I'm not really sure. And I sort of look at my own view on AI and I think 2 years ago, I never asked Siri anything. And I now talk to Siri about things. I ask Siri to navigate for me. I talk to my TV. And then probably a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, we were getting increasingly better at extracting information out of documents and emails, and particularly working on things like if somebody's asked you some inquiries and it's 7A, 7B and 7C, how do you break that down into a task that means that 7A and 7B and 7C make sense when you recount it back to somebody as a task? Because you need the 7 section as well as the C section to make it work. So it was quite basic 2.5, 3 years ago. And then probably a year ago, we were starting to look at asking Siri to look at images like plans. And then probably 12 weeks ago, I had a telephone call from somebody selling me an investment scheme into solar panels that I wasn't interested in, and it was a cold call and I'd normally hang up, and this guy sounded to be quite calm. And about 5 minutes in, I thought to myself, this is not a human, this is AI, this is too calm to be a human. And I bottled it for about a minute before I actually said to the caller, I don't mean to be rude, but would you mind if I asked if you're an AI agent or a real person? And he said, I'm an AI agent. And it took me 5 minutes to work it out. And since then, I've been playing with conversational voice AI and I've built something. And you may or may not see it in LinkedIn or somewhere in the not too distant future. But I've had a number of people try it and I've had people genuinely unaware that it was a robot that was giving them a conveyancing quote. And you can haggle with it. It can collect data. It can perform complex calculations. It can go off and if a law firm phones it, it can go to the land registry and find out how many registrations you did during the course of the year. So the art of the possible and the speed of change is massive. Now that might be because I'm an early adopter of things and I quite enjoy this stuff. But if you look at your own life, David, we were talking about when you took over today's conveyancer 3 years ago, the concept of using AI to do anything would have been completely unthinkable. And then you're saying to me that you've used ChatGPT to help you write a headline. If you're doing that today, how long will it be before you ask ChatGPT to draft an article for you or to run an email campaign? And then how long will it be before you ask ChatGPT to phone people up to remind them that a webinar's about to happen? Or you take inbound calls for bookings on an event? Or how long will it be before you actually say to ChatGPT, what should my business strategy be? And actually this is coming and it's getting better all the time. In the 12 weeks that I have been playing with conversational voice AI, it's got tangibly better. Not because my prompt coding is, or my prompting has improved, but because the underlying LLM is being used by a lot more people to do voice. And the take up of voice AI, as well as textual AI, is significant to the point where if I, as a solicitor, entrepreneur, somebody that is jack of all trades and knows nothing about any of them, if I can create a system by myself that generates a credible quotation service, how long will it be before that becomes really quite tangible? And you've got developers using AI techniques to considerably improve their ability to code. I know nothing about .NET applications at all. but I have built a .NET application using AI, and I haven't yet quite deployed it, but it's changing things rapidly. And even the most furious critics of AI will be touched by this. And I think it's coming quicker and faster than people realize. And I think the world will have a very, very different outlook in 2 years. And it reminds me of mobile telephones. When mobile telephones came out, I was very much a, why would I ever carry a brick round in my pocket? It's that little snake game is pathetic. And why would I want my mother to know where I was and phone, or have the ability to phone me at any point in time? Today, my phone takes voice memos. It turns my voicemail into text. It sets reminders for me. It tells me where to go. And when I wake up in the morning, when I go to search for an app, the first app that it tells me that comes up, first thing in the morning, because every morning I get on the scales, it says the scale app appears. But if I open the same page at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I never get on my scales at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's not there. So the AI in my phone knows that I get on the scales at 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock every morning, and it prompts me in a very, very subtle way to do that. So the speed at which this is changing is significant. I think it's easy to dismiss, but I think change will come across as in a way that is subtle and nuanced, and we won't see it. Your readers won't know that which headline you wrote and which headline ChatGPT wrote. In 6 months' time, they won't know which article ChatGPT drafted and you edited. You know, 6 months after that, they won't know that the message that you're sending to them has been written by ChatGPT and tailored and scheduled and organized by ChatGPT and signed off by you. And sometime after that, they're not going to know that the person that's phoning them is actually an AI agent, because its speed, its consistency, its ability to mimic humans will be significant. And yeah, I'm sure there's lots and lots of lawyers out there that will criticize me for my views. That's fine. I don't mind whether you're a human-only firm that is adamant never to use this stuff, or you're a firm that adopts it. What concerns me, as I say, is the firms that are not thinking about this, not learning about this, and because they're not learning about this stuff, they aren't aware, and they're just making glib statements like ChatGPT is not safe without actually understanding why it's not safe and how the underlying LLM can be made safe. I would never let an LLM control anything within my firm. That's fine. We wouldn't let an LLM control anything within your firm either. That doesn't mean there's no place for AI within your firm. It just means that it's slightly different. But I dare say you probably got an accounting system that will read an invoice from an email, scrape the data out, and put it in boxes and do something with it. That is a form of AI. The scraping of information out of invoices that you've never seen the structure of before is AI. Your accounts department is probably using it in invoice recognition. It's coming, David, and it's coming quite quickly, and it's coming in a way that you won't see because it's built under the hood of most applications.
I take your point about the speed of change. And of course, it's easy to forget that AI right now is the worst it will ever be. Like that curve that it's on in terms of improvement is one, it's exponential, but two, we're at the bottom of that curve effectively, aren't we? Because yeah, it's not going to get any worse. So I agree in the sense that it's got a long way to go. We might disagree about the time frames, but there's no two ways about it that it will change. And I also have to say, Chris, a massive thank you for you completely giving away my business plan for the next 2 to 4 years as well. Thank you.
Okay, David. And I'd just like to say to those lawyers that are skeptical or anti this, I'm not disagreeing with you. There are lots of things that you should be skeptical about and you should be thinking about, but I just implore you, you know, not to criticize me for suggesting this stuff may happen, but to actually think about it and go and learn about it, and rather than just throw bricks, take a considered approach and say, my clients are going to have access to a tool that is as good as your junior assistant, and therefore they're going to behave differently. And you're going to have a new junior assistant available to you if you choose to deploy it. And given the amount of pressure that you're all under, any help in a market where the client's expectations going up all the time and people are snapping at your heels can only help. So embrace it and learn about it, I would suggest. But if you're choosing not to, I completely understand, but don't shoot the messenger.
It's great to have you on the podcast as ever, Chris, and thank you for your unique brand of positivity.
Thank you, David, so much. Anybody's got any questions, they can find me on LinkedIn and ask anything of me. So all the best, David, and talk to you again soon.
The Today's Conveyancer podcast is available on your preferred podcast provider. It's also available on todaysconveyancer.co.uk. My thanks to Chris. Thank you as ever for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.